Hey everyone, welcome to Talking Split. We are back for term three at this point. There's a bit of debate over whether we are in season
season three.
This is normally when the talent of the podcast holds out for more money and say that, hey, we have a successful product, we need to be paid more. I sadly don't think that'll be coming our way. Obviously, we have Mike Zeppel and Justin Shuler with us, the high performance coaches for Metro and Country. Welcome back, guys.
How are you, mate?
Rob.
I'm excellent. I'm not getting over jet lag, probably quite like the two of you are, though. It's been a fairly hectic couple of weeks for both of you guys.
We're nearly there, Robbie.
Awesome close. Couple of weeks.
We are about to go to Geelong, though, so that's a different time zone altogether as you head down the highway. Just near your hometown of Werribee, is it?
Everyone should stop in Werribee on their way there and inject a little bit into the local economy before heading down, Robbie.
Excellent.
Don't go under 80.
Yeah, ever. What we're going to do here is a little bit of review. So we're back after, I think it's been about 3 or 4 weeks off from recording. So obviously you guys have been involved with some pretty cool stuff. We're also going to do a little bit of an AJC's review with the under-18s coming up next week. We've got some stuff planned for down at Nationals next week, as well as a pod and a little bit of a review of how things are going, and hopefully a bit of an X's and O's session as well out of AJC's. But we'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end. But probably the first thing, congratulations, Justin. NBL title.
Thank you.
It feels like a long time ago now.
It does feel like a long, long time ago, but very, very awesome. And yeah, still get a kick out, a little smile every time someone mentions it.
Yep. So fairly hectic game five for you from all accounts. Yeah. So it didn't quite go to plan, it'd be fair to say. Just talk us through that.
Yeah, I guess I was meant to be flying out 11 a.m. that morning. So Basketball Australia were really great in allowing me to stay for game five. But what it did mean was, pretty much we won, was on the podium and then straight to the airport. So not a lot of time to celebrate. And it was kind of funny sitting at the airport and just that was the moment it sunk in, because really from then I just kept checking the watch, or I've got to get out of here, get to the airport. But no, really cool and really proud of, I guess, what the group was able to achieve this year, and an awesome final series to be a part of.
From a spectator's perspective, I thought it was fantastic. Unfortunately, the Illawarra-Perth final last year probably didn't go exactly how we wanted it to, but this one, best of five, we got all five games in it, and all five of them were really well contested as well. Like the atmosphere in the games that came across on TV, for mine, you did get a feeling for it, and tipping the Adelaide crowd was fairly welcoming back to your home state.
Yeah, it was different being the enemy there, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, you're the enemy here, mate. So how's about you just tell us a little bit about how important home court was, because the fact that you guys finished first really helped in the end.
I guess during the regular season we knew that that was going to be a factor, with New Zealand and Perth being the other teams in the final series, like them plus Adelaide, really tough environments to play in. So having the ledger was always going to be important. And yeah, I mean, Adelaide were really tough on their floor. We never really played the way we wanted to either when we were there, and a big part of that was just, I guess, how challenging an environment it was. For us, our fans were unreal. Like that last game, packed house, just the energy in the building, and especially once Chris really got going, it was just tough to put to words just how much energy and how much of that support really got us rolling, I guess.
Awesome. Really happy for Dave Barlow. Battled injuries over a long career now, but for him to have so many big moments, and he was, shot an incredible clip throughout that whole series, and was a point of difference.
And timely threes as well. Like every time there was a big bucket needed, he just found a way to get on the end of it. It would be the corner three, the 45, whatever it is, that extra pass out of it. He just stuck that thing at a great clip.
He's an absolute pro. And his finish to the year was really of him just operating the right way every day and taking care of himself. But yeah, he was huge for us, and we had different foul situations throughout it, like a lot of free throws attempted by Adelaide through that series, but what that allowed was us to have some versatility, and Dave stepped up in a big way in a few of those games.
Brett Brown said yesterday at three-quarter time, he said he didn't want to say that his team was getting fouled all the time, but he said, I'm really interested in how hard the opposition team is playing right here. And that was his way to say that the other team was fouling us a lot. So, well, very diplomatic, mate. Well done.
I think, there was a lot talked about in the series about, the foul discrepancy, but really, we didn't put ourselves in a position in some of those games to go get fouled. So You know, like, yeah, we felt hard done by in some of them, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. And what I really loved about that last game is there wasn't even a thought process for us. It was about, what are we trying to achieve today? And, you know, we knew that they were going to switch everything, as we did all series, but no, we want DJ defending Casper as much as we can. We put him in that situation, and I guess execution of what we wanted to do was the ultimate part of it.
It's a great result. It and even like Childress going out, it didn't, I mean, it hurt Adelaide, obviously, not having Childress to go to, but Ramon Moore just stepped in for those guys and was massive as well. He was huge.
I think that's the danger at pro levels, is when someone goes down, the next guy in's pretty decent as well. Yeah. So, and for Ramon, like, he was coming off the bench all year, and I guess in some ways could argue he was underutilised at times. Like, it just meant he got more of the share and was really tough cover. And I also think some other guys, for them, you know, Majok Deng had an amazing series for them.
Like,
came in, was an impact guy every time. But equally, we felt, you know, we got everything out of our guys. You know, like, each of our guys had their moments. Casper was pretty tough through the whole thing. And then, you know, Chris in that last game was just on a different level to anyone else on the floor. And it was really awesome to see, because he definitely had put the pressure on himself to perform, and was awesome. Like, just awesome.
Off-season now, mate. How's about you tell our thousands of listeners who the United boys are signing for this year? I know you can spill those beans.
Yeah, no beans to be spilt, but
come
it
on,
is
mate.
A...
Friends of the show want to know.
It is a really, like, you know, my first time obviously going through it and just seeing the moves that are getting made. And you look at other teams and you kind of, I guess what I'm doing is thinking, well, would I have recruited in that way? And, I mean, we'll have some exciting signings to announce soon. And, you know, it's about hitting that reset button pretty quick. You know, like, I went off to Asia, but I know once the celebrations stopped, the boys are in the office looking at, well, we're up, what's next year look like? So, it is a pretty quick process, but I think, you know, the league is positioned to go just a whole nother level again, which is really exciting.
Awesome.
Great talk, mate. About having an extra team in Melbourne coming in as well. Like, that seems to have sort of grabbed a little bit of momentum as well. Like,
yeah.
Obviously not next season, but the season after, it sort of sounds like there will be another Melbourne crew.
I think the NBL in itself is set for expansion. It's probably ready as well. We had a chat from a United point of view. Like, we actually embrace the idea of more Melbourne teams coming in, because it's only good for the sport, and to have rivalries and that, I think, just keeps you at the pointy end of what you're trying to do.
And then a trickle down effect into juniors, just giving junior athletes more athletes to identify with, coaching pathways, more opportunity for professional development.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge thing. One club would be a huge thing. When we get three or four in Melbourne, it's going to be awesome.
And it's probably because I was involved this year, but this past 12 months, really the amount of the general basketball population, how much they were talking about the NBL. Like, it wasn't the NBA first talked, or it was always NBL, and I think that's just a good sign of where things are going for the sport in the country.
So free agency is obviously hit. What about coaching free agency? Obviously Mike Kelly's gone. Like, he's off to Cairns from all accounts.
Really exciting opportunity for Mike, and something he's wanted for a long time. And yeah, just, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with his position moving forward.
Well, I was trying to very discreetly ask, have you been re-signed at Melbourne United?
He is avoiding all questions,
isn't he?
Robbie.
Isn't he?
And if he
onto the next
like
topic
it.
Here, Schweizer Tournament, Zep. You were an assistant coach at the Albert Schweizer Tournament. Talk us through that, mate. Really awesome opportunity for you. Like, really proud for you to get that gig. I think you very well deserved, and the team did a great job away.
Dankeschön, Justin. That's thank you, mate. In German, if you didn't know.
He's got German covered. That's not a problem.
Sure,
sure is not exactly Smith.
That might be the extent of it, mate. That might be the extent of it. No, thank you, mate. Had a blast going away with the boys, and any time that you can represent your country, like, you know, it's incredibly humbling and a proud experience for all those boys out there. Did a great job competing. Like, it was, we kind of went in not knowing who the competition was going to be, because teams do just put a team list in of, say, you know, 28 athletes or 18 athletes, so you do have a bit of a feeling out process. But once we got there and played a couple practice games, and we had a practice game against Argentina before the tournament started, the guys just started to get more comfortable. We had a 3-day camp in Canberra before we left to assimilate a couple of the guys that we brought in on the tour outside of the COE boys. and then jetted off to Germany. So really good, mate. Like, there were some things that we did really well that influenced the games and gave us a chance.
What were those sorts of things? Like
tagging up. Yep. Tagging up. So, you know, the concept of five guys to the offensive glass was a point of difference for us. And we had some games where we had 27 offensive rebounds, 25 offensive rebounds. If you don't know what's coming, it's going to get you.
Yeah.
And if you aren't as athletic or as tough-minded to go and compete on that glass, it can get you. So we were able to influence games in that capacity.
It's an interesting concept, and it's interesting you did it internationally, because in my head it's always been that's a high risk to a low reward.
D-trans matters a little bit more than grabbing that extra ball.
I guess what, and that's, I love hearing that, and one thing that Dave Ingham and I have spoken about with our group is, could we use it as just a change-up? Like, is there a period in time where we can go, nah, right now we're setting five to the glass, and is this the opportunity that we just change rhythm of the game? Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting. So we finished 6-2, and the two losses came against Germany, where tagging up did not work.
Yeah.
So the change-up concept or game planning differently is important, because the reason why it didn't work against Germany is they were 6-7 at every position and athletic.
Yeah.
And the contest on the glass, there was still a contest, but they won enough of the defensive rebounding contests to impact the game positively for them. So absolutely, a change up or making it a part of your game plan is an interesting part of it. But for the most part, it was really good. Like, you know, with international competition, everybody can shoot it. Yeah. Everybody can pass both hands, play off both feet. So closing out and carrying a hand was another part that was really important for our guys. We were the best field goal defensive percentage team across the tournament, which was really good. And the guys really bought into carrying a hand and contesting shots, and it really helped at the end of the day. So
first international experience, what's the biggest learning for you? What's the thing that you took away most for your own coaching?
Definitely game planning. And it's similar with an AJC, it's like game planning for different teams. Obviously, ball screen. How are you going to deal with ball screens internationally? Like, there might not be one possession for a whole game where the other team does not run some ball screen concept. Yep. So I think your ability to game plan for ball screens, but also teach it in a way that your athletes can comprehend it and are going to find success in negating it, is really important.
Yep. So what were the most effective ways of defending ball screens that you guys saw? Like, a lot of teams now, especially at like the senior level, I suppose, are icing the on ball on the wing, sending it away. It's difficult to do from the top in that mid pick and roll. Like, what were the most effective ways you guys saw?
We had a pretty flexible group, so we did switch when we were able to, and I think if you can switch athletically, it is probably the best plan of action, particularly late clock. You do have to have the group though, and we did have that flexible group. We did ice and mush a lot of the ball screens. The challenge is on your guards. Firstly, they can't get screened. Like, if your guards get screened, it's over, because you've got a 6'5 elite Italian shooting guard coming downhill who's just going to wreak havoc in the paint. So that's a big part of it. The big part as well was the position that the ball screen takes place on the floor. So we tried to keep the Euros out of the middle of the floor because they just love walking the ball up, calling their horns action, calling their middle pick and roll, and just cutting you apart. We tried to keep the ball outside of, you know, that middle third of the floor. And if they were going to set seam on ball screens, like lane line extended on ball screens, and there was a loaded corner, definitely ice it, send it to the help. And then if they had a pick and pop four, like a pick and pop shooting big, setting those screens, we would definitely have an X out off the nail. Like, that would be a non-negotiable.
Automatic, That to me is becoming more and more. Everyone's just got to get it done, because if you try and get back, it's too much time and space. So it's good to hear.
And these guys don't need a lot of time to shoot it either. No. Like, as you say, it's a 6'5" shooting guard that as soon as that thing hits their hands, it's gone. Is there any area that you sort of feel like, obviously the skill sets are totally different, but is there any area where you feel like the Australians are a little bit behind in their skill set to play at an international level?
I'm not sure if behind's the right way to talk about it. What it does heighten is my awareness, and Justin's been in many international tournaments, so he'll know this, heightens my awareness for exactly how and who we identify in Australia.
Yeah.
Germany's got 80 million people. So their ability to identify more kids, a greater mass of kids, is greater than us. So we have to be really diligent in identifying kids that can play on state teams and ensure that, you know, the growth of the sport here in Australia is really good, that there's quality junior competition, but also identifying enough athletes that can compete at that level. Because when we're doing personnel scouting reports, I mean, it's 6'3", 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", and 6'9". Like, that's what it looks like. And I think we have a small population that we do have to, I don't know, leave no stone unturned, so to speak, in who we identify and take some risks. You know, there'll be kids that rolled through under 12 camps, under 14 camps in the holidays. They're tall, long, slender, probably can't catch, probably struggle to run, probably struggle to pivot. We have to take some risks on those kids and invest and be patient in how we develop those athletes.
It's, you know, this comes up in, came up in a conversation I had this morning about the European advantage is an under 12 kid will be linked to the pro team
mm-hmm.
from that moment moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a development plan that has them exiting out of their junior career straight into a senior team. And it's, I mean, our model's very different in Australia, but I think there is something in that, in just being able to identify early and then really have a formalized plan almost right the way through to help that athlete that just has those intangibles that we want, like body type, whatever that may be, and then be able to progress them through.
Absolutely. And a lot of those junior athletes over there, so it's an under 18 tournament, a lot of those junior athletes, when you're looking through the program, their junior club is Alba Berlin,
yeah.
It's Munich, it is... Maccabi in Israel, but they're already attached as a 16, 17 year old, which means they've been in that program for 3 or 4 years
yeah.
already. And
yeah.
It's really important. It makes us question how we program and how we identify, and we should really be thinking about how they look like in 10 years time instead of AJCs as an under 16 athlete.
Yep.
Do a lot of the European kids tend to play multiple sports, or are they just basketballs from a younger age? Like, that's something that comes up a fair bit in Australia, obviously, is kids will play multiple sports
yeah.
and don't necessarily have the time to commit to progress the skill set.
A lot of basketball, mate.
Yeah.
A lot of basketball. Soccer's obviously a big sport over there, but in speaking with a lot of the coaches, the boys play a lot of basketball. And if there is some other sport, it's a little bit at school, but if they're serious about their hoops, they're playing hoops a lot of times for the week, and they're practicing, like
yeah.
they're practicing, you know, 6 to 8 times a week.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah.
We, you know, we've heard stacks of, you know, at the tail end of season 2 talk about that.
Well done.
Every time that I've gone and viewed programs, you know, they're saying, oh, we've got another session in 4 hours if you want to come to that, and it's like, what group of kids is that? I know the same kids, and you know, that I think is the reason that smaller nations in Europe, you're talking about Germany, but you know, your Serbia, Slovenia, like the small nations, they produce elite level athletes as
right.
well, and it's because the skill development's there, the development mindset's there, but they're also streamlined from start to end to their pro team, and I think that's a real advantage for them.
Two more interesting things for you, Robbie. I know you'll like this. They actually gave an award out at the tournament for the highest projected, but the athlete that all the coaches thought had the best upside, and it was based on measurements like wingspan and height and ability.
There's a name for that. What's that? Like anthropological or something
there
like
you
that?
Go, Robbie,
yeah,
well done. Well done. You butchered it.
Not game to roll that one out. After
anthros,
the first one?
They call it.
Anthros
in the biz, Robbie. Anthros and athletic ability. So
okay.
it's kind of a kid that coaches thought had great upside and ended up being a 6'7". Pick and pop 4 from Israel, who's tied to Maccabi, and he's going to be a super player.
Nice.
So a lot of college scouts, I'm assuming, over there looking at potential recruits.
No, not an evaluation period.
Ooh.
So they were not allowed in the building, but there were a lot of NBA scouts,
yeah,
and pro Euro scouts there.
That's
watching.
Awesome. Great opportunity. And so who were the kids that went pretty well for the Aussies?
They all did a really good job, mate. Cal Dalton finished
yep.
All-Star power forward, so All-Star 4. So he had a really good outing in the semi versus Italy. Had himself a day out with 30 points. Froling Sam was really good through the week. Aiden Krause averaged 14, 15 points and did a really good job off the bench as well. So we probably didn't shoot it as well as we would have liked from three across the week, but all 10 guys were really good.
Excellent. So from there we go slightly east or west, not really too sure, not great at geography. Asia qualifiers for you, Justin. Managed to get through unscathed, thankfully. Like, rolled the Kiwis, and who'd you play in the final?
China.
Talk us through that.
I guess, obviously, first time we qualified through Asia. So, heavy learning period for us in a multitude of ways. And I guess the early challenge for us was this was the first time these athletes had, one, represented their country, but two, toured. So a lot of learning on that, you know, and going into China, those that have done it, it's a unique experience in that sense. And I can't speak highly enough of how the group, that staff and athletes really handled kind of those challenges and just kept the narrow focus and kept moving forward. We, you know, round games kind of went the way we thought they might, but then we met Korea in the quarterfinals, and we actually thought we might have seen them in the gold medal game. Like, they were a pretty impressive sort of group, very evenly heighted, had a unique style of play, which was a flat 3-2 zone, which none of us have seen before, and proved to be a challenge when you're not shooting the ball very well from the perimeter that day. But you know, that was that one. New Zealand we met in the semi-final, and then China, who were again a really talented group in the gold medal game. And I guess totally different to what Zep said about what he experienced through Europe, heavy zone presence at the tournament. So, you know, every nation we saw that, varying sizes. So you really had your really small, quick, athletic guard that could hit a 3 to your 7-foot string bean, or if China had a couple 6-foot-10 really kind of monstrous kids. And almost no ball screen. You know, we were the ones that were probably running the majority of the ball screen action. Everyone else, it's penetrate and pitch. And so for us, you know, again, heavy learning, D-trans was a real focus for us, but also we kind of try to flip it a bit and use disruption as our, I guess, our biggest point of difference. And I think the moments that we really got on top of teams was more so from our just our defensive pressure and ability to go. So, yeah, really proud of the group. Great to come away with gold, which means we got the seeding we wanted for the World Cup in June or June 30. So, yeah, now it's back to work and see what group we take there.
So it's interesting you touch on the zone. So obviously the lack of zone at the 18s, as opposed to a lot of zone you guys saw at 16s. What do you put that down to? Is that region-based, you feel like? Or is that age-based, that kids at 16 can't shoot 3 quite as well as they can at the 18s? Or is that just a style?
There were great shooters in the tournament. Like, every team had studs, and kind of like Zep, a lot of scouts from pro level in the building versus collegiate level. But to me, Asia, so Korea have figured out that they need to play a certain way, much like we decided, to have a chance to beat the nations that have probably more athletes. A lot of the Asian nations have followed suit with that. Like, the Philippines sat in a zone pretty much the whole way as well. So I think they've just found, yeah, there's a challenge with athleticism, size, whatever it may be. This is the style that we're going to go with. The most interesting thing for me was no one really got up the floor and disrupted, which to me would have been a really good addition to if you're falling back to the zone. So we were able to kind of, I guess, do what we wanted offensively, and even in Korea where we weren't shooting well, we got the shots we knew we were going to get, just not at a clip that we were happy with. So just interesting. I think, you know, those nations have done a good job to figure out what can be their point of difference.
Yep. So Argentina for you in July?
June 30 to July 8 is our World Cup. So we've drawn Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic and Turkey. So Turkey were actually fifth out of Europe, which is you know, like, silver medalist last World. So, you know, you get to the Worlds, there's no easy games. But compared to the other pools, you know, like, it is a good draw. And in my two campaigns previous, this is definitely the best pool we've had to date. So our job now is to go to 18 nationals, have a look at what athletes are there. You know, we probably feel we need to add a couple things that we learn out of Asia, and pick the best 12 athletes and away we go.
So you guys have another camp before you go away to the Worlds?
So we'll have a selection camp at the start of May, and then pretty much pre-Worlds will be in Argentina about 10 days before the World Cup, and then we're into it. So
awesome.
Yeah, all good stuff.
Sounds great.
Well done, mate.
Sounds great. So that's a pretty decent lead into AJCs. So the Australian Junior Championships are on next week in Geelong.
Yep.
You can tell this is season 3, Robbie. The segues get better.
I know.
Yeah. Sometimes they're accidental, and sometimes we just have to manipulate it a little bit. But that one worked pretty well. So,
well-oiled machine.
Let's talk us through our metro and country teams.
Yep.
So we've heard a lot from you already, Justin. So we'll go to Mike on the first one. We've got to get him a little bit more active in these podcasts.
What do you want
to
know, Robbie?
I want to know how our Vic Metro team's going to go. That's what I really want to know.
Start with the girls, mate.
Geez,
We'll start with the ladies. I'll watch them Tuesday night finish up their prep out at Sunbury. Little practice game against Kennedy's state champ women team, which was really good. So they had another practice today before heading down the coast this afternoon. So I'm excited to see how that all unfolds. So a couple of COE girls, some really good experience from the under 16 cohort 2 years ago. Couple of new girls who have not played at AGCs yet, so to see them get their first action is going to be really exciting, mate. So a tall team, like when you got a couple of tall athletes, you know, 189, 190 with Izzy and Sophia, some really good athletes out there, got some shooting, a couple of natural point guards. I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Yep, a lot of those girls that have played 2 years earlier at the under 16 championships, so a little bit of a carry on. Boys are a little different.
They are. So five of the boys playing this week in Geelong. This will be their first AJC, which is really good. Commending them on, you know, taking pride in player development and understanding that as a 15-year-old, you're not finished if you don't make a metro or a country state team. Like basketball is a sport of, you know, sustained development. So excited to see those boys compete. An athletic team and probably a consistent height team. Like, we don't have a tower out there. There's no one 6'8", 6'9", but some pretty consistent height all the way from the two guard through to you know, Kobe, who essentially will played the five for Justin last month and will do the same down in Geelong. So another interesting one, mate. Some good shooting on the team, some good athletes, and excited to see those boys roll it out too.
Yep. Justin, your country guys?
I'll start with the girls, reigning gold medalists at the championship, and I guess for us the expectation is kind of the same. Like, it's a mixture of the bottom age girls from that group plus our silver medal under 16 girls, so expectation is high. Jared Hillier is leading him again and always does a great job. You know, for us, you know, we've got some athletes there that have had Oz experience, and that's our expectation, that they help the cohort go through. Agnes Eminopu, Georgia Amore, Jade Melbourne, Liv Pollard, Ella Oji, and like, we've got a pretty well balanced and versatile group. The thing we lack is size, so that's all sitting in the metro side of the world on the girls tournament, so we'll have to be very different to how metro play. But we feel pretty confident that, you know, get through the rounds and take care of the quarterfinal. That'll be the key.
Yep. And the boys?
The boys is kind of a similar story in that, I guess, our expectations of program is wherever you finished 2 years ago, that's kind of your minimum point. So this group was silver medalists back then, but Lucas Allen's leading this group. We've had a bit of turnover and change, kind of like what Zep said. And one of the athletes I'm really excited to see how he goes at a Nationals is Kai Daniels, who's actually been a reserve 3 years in a row. Mm. And now as a top age athlete, gets that opportunity from that persistence. Right. So, you know, excited to see what he can do. Good mix of senior top age and bottom age athletes. But obviously Liam Herbert, Jay Rantor coming off Asia Cup, and Harry Pepper's been a consistent performer at this level for a long time. Same story, we don't have a lot of size, but the way they play should hopefully position us well throughout the tournament.
The home team, Robbie, the home team should get it done, no? Geelong, down in Geelong. Good country, should just go get it done down. No pressure, mate, at all. It's a big country to just roll down to Geelong.
We talk about segues. We might as well stay on the boys' side because the biggest challenge I see on that side of the fence is WA Metro.
They're in the Vic Metro pool. I think they play each other fairly early in the week.
Sunday,
actually.
Mate. Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah, like, to me, that's just an exciting group. And really, like, they're going to be tough to take the gold medal off. You know, having Luke Travers, Wani Suaka, Luke Kane Jackson, Kane Waters, yeah. Derek, like, that team is loaded from start to end. And there'll be definitely a fair bit of pressure on old Andrew Cooper to make sure he gets that job done. No pressure there. But I think that's a group that's going to be fun to watch anyway. Yeah, having definitely. Coached three of those kids just recently, like, you know, there's some serious future pros in that team, so you know that'll be good to see. What else? What other the other teams there? Is that?
That's a really good question, mate. Probably the same ones that played last year will be will be back there this year, mate. New South Wales Metro got a few really good-looking players: Campbell Green, Bawali, who got invited away with the NBA Academy squad.
Exciting,
really exciting athletic guard, Tiber. Ex-Victoria Metro NITP athlete is up in Queensland North at the moment. So
I should say with that WA Metro, there's an ex-Vic Country athlete there as well. But
wait your turn, mate. he got a Guernsey with Queensland North, so congrats to Tiber. Your Boston and Tamari on that Queensland North team as well. So really
young and exciting for sure. That'll be an interesting group.
Absolutely.
Tasmania will be a good group as well.
Well, they'll be well coached.
Radford coaching it. Obviously, you know, Hunter Clark out of our Asia Cup, but Armstrong as well, and Rain Smith, who can Rain's fill
great.
It up on
great
his day.
Player.
So,
yeah,
you know, the talent in the tournament's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. SA Metro, nothing there.
SA Metro
definitely have some athletes.
You come with this one, Justin.
Well, it's coached by my old housemate, Andrew Janke, so that worries me straight away. and if you see on their list of 48 staff that David Ingham's appointed, ex-36er Jason Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason, in his own right, is a great coach from way back. Another old ex-housemate. This is kind of getting weird. But Big Joe is a team manager, putting his Bible out there on social media yesterday. So obviously they've got God on their side. But Kalani Sapwell, you know, Hayden Meeks.
Has there ever been an SA Metro team without a Sapwell on it?
I don't know. Well, not recently. But I tell you what this group does have is traditional SA style and that they can shoot
shooters.
The ball.
Yeah,
so you know, that'll be something to watch throughout the tournament as well.
Probably the last one, Robbie, is Queensland South. The name that pops off the page for me is Sean Carroll, obviously obviously misguided and somewhat lost that he's on the Queensland South
some
coaching,
exciting kids on there though
coaching
as well, mate.
Staff. So Sean, if you're lost, mate, you are welcome back in Melbourne, but exciting to see him coaching down in Geelong next week.
Absolutely. Yeah, like Mo King, I think, is an athlete to watch in that group. Obviously, Blake Jones, you know, just went away with you at Switzer.
Yep.
Like, some exciting athletes there. And I think that's why this under-18 boys comp is going to be really interesting, because every team has a couple kids that have, you know, been identified early, but there's also a lot of depth in each team and real talent and coaching depth as well. Like, a lot of names there that we know. And
coaching does matter. We joked before, but coaching at the 18s really does matter.
Yep.
Because now the game is very different to the 16s game. Like, this will be played above the rim. The athletes are better. The athleticism's better. The ability's just, you know, you're 2 years older. So it will be interesting to see how teams make adjustments and, you know, change game plans and game plan for different teams. Which will be really cool to talk about when we're down there potting from Geelong next week.
Fair bit of experience. Matty Johnson's coaching New South Country. He's done a few campaigns now. Mm-hmm. Jacob Jackman's, you know, obviously with the Metro. Yeah.
Paul Mellon in there as
New
well.
South.
Victorian
Paul Mellon's there.
Yep.
Darren Perry, you know, current under-19 Australian coach. We expect a lot from him. And
yep.
You know, it's going to be, and as we said, Mark Radford, who's had some NBL
that's
experience.
Good.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, again, I think that's when nationals are exciting as well, when you've got the talent, but you also know you've got the people behind them giving them the best chance of success. So can't wait for it to start on Saturday.
Yep, and on the girls' side, so there's a number of good teams as well. Obviously, we're hoping for a Victoria Metro versus Victoria Country final with the girls.
That's definitely the plan. We're not hoping for that on the boys. I thought we were hoping for that on the boys.
So, there's a couple of great teams, obviously, in the girls' side as well.
Well, I'll tell you what jumps out to me straight away before we talk athletes is Queensland North's coaching staff.
Not bad, is it?
Claudia Brassard, current WNBL championship winning coach.
Absolutely.
With her current WNBL championship winning player, Newley Murray, now as an assistant. That's really great to see that, people at that level are still coaching at an AJC. That's going to be great.
Absolutely. Even New South Metro's got Renee Gallup. From back in the day as well. You look through some of these rosters and it's great to see a lot of ex-players coming back into the coaching ranks. Absolutely. As well. I think there's a lot of experience they can get out of that. And just doing some time in there as well. It's really easy to just want to try and get the highest possible job you can, but they're doing some time at the junior ranks as well, which I think is fantastic.
Definitely. South Australia having another list of 40 staff as well, which is good to see.
What's going on over there?
Good budgets over there for Dinger. It's good.
There's some very good players for South Australia. Hannah Hank. Going to be a really good performer next week. Kelsey Rees, got the last name Rees. Jasmine Rigoni, who I suspect is the sister of Jacob, who was a very good player for South Australia as well.
It's good to know we do no research on that. Zep, well done. No, but also, you look at Isabel Palmer.
Yep.
He's been a standout junior Australian athlete. Mm. Shyla Hill
and the New South Metro girls. She's putting up great numbers in Siebel already.
Yeah, exactly right. So, and Isabella Stradford.
Shout out.
With SA Country as well.
Niece of Craig, one of our great coaches here in Melbourne, Isabella. So, good luck to her.
Yeah, we feel pretty good about the girls' side of this tournament as well, that it's going to be a challenge from start to end.
It's just such a good week, mate. Anyone that can get down to watch a game or two next week, go down. You'll see some fantastic basketball all the way from... Thursday, Friday and Saturday from that quarterfinal day.
Yeah, it gets exciting.
The atmosphere and just the feeling in the building is something else.
The other thing with this tournament is every athlete that's participating is eligible for this year's World Championship. So that's men and women. So not that that should be at the forefront of the athletes' minds, but I know I'm going down interested to see kind of who's performing, which teams are doing well, because generally speaking, if you're in a team that knows how to win, that's someone we can take away. So excited.
You'll be down there all week
down there.
So if you listen to this podcast and you happen to run into Justin down there, just mention that he'll be down there and just say, hey, I'll listen to the podcast, and he'll buy you a coffee. He's got the BV credit card, he'll be happy to just tip in.
Thanks, Rob. Always appreciate that. No, definitely come up and tell us how much you love the podcast. And Zeppel's got T-shirts in his boot that he's more than happy to hand out and wear around the stadium.
Absolutely.
Excellent. But it is a great week, honestly. There's a lot of things you can take away from it, and it's great to see a fantastic standard of basketball. But if you can get behind some of the benches and just sort of listen to the coaching instruction as well, always pick up something from someone. It's easy to go into those things and just admire the basketball, but it's a great learning opportunity as well, and we certainly plan on it. So what we've got planned next week is we'll do a live, probably won't be a live pod, but we'll do a pod on maybe Tuesday, Wednesday or so.
We'll call it a live pod.
We'll call it live. Live whenever people listen to it. Just a little bit of a recap at the start of the week, what quarterfinals are sort of looking like as well, where the matchups will lie. That'll drop probably Thursday next week, which I think is quarterfinals day.
Yep.
We won't do anything with semis and grand finals, but we'll come back in the week after and do a little bit of a review of nationals from that first week back. And the plan is that we'll have a video show as well, where we sort of grab out a couple of the best sets that we've seen, a couple of different ways that people have defended on ball screens or defensive transition, pick up points, just some cool things that we've seen over the week, and we'll put that up as well. So we'll try and get our ugly mugs on TV as well.
Email through anything you see as well at Nationals and let us know what you want to kind of discuss further and go from there.
Yeah, most definitely. That'd be fantastic. Finally, before we get out, NCAA tournament thoughts. I know we've spoken a lot about the men's side. this is the first time we've actually spoken NCAA with all three of us in the room. So.
True.
Couple of things. One, great job, Justin, on being ineligible in the bracket. Two, fantastic job, Mike, for coming dead last in the bracket.
Well done, Zep.
And three, congratulations to Radomir Pavasovic, who got the win in our bracket challenge from New Jersey. So he might have some inside knowledge on that one. It's really impressive. But probably one thing we didn't mention a lot of is congratulations to Chloe Bibby.
Absolutely. Big second, country pride right there.
That is Horsham girl.
Yeah. From out of Horsham. Really, I mean, I messaged her straight after that game and said, mate, proud of you. Know you're hurting, but, that was one tough way to lose a game. But she had a really great year for her first year. And, it was awesome a little bit earlier than that to see, Chantel Horvat and Chloe go against each other. Yep. Two girls that played, represented Big Country all the way through together. And then to be on that stage going against each other was a pretty cool moment for our side of the program.
It is. The pathway looks fairly strong when you sort of see that, and there's another crop of girls obviously looking to go across, and boys over the next 12 months as well. So we obviously really hope that we'll have a number of athletes representing in the NCAA tournament in the future as well.
If my bracket was eligible,
yeah,
I did have Villanova playing in the final.
Get out, really? No, you didn't.
Against Virginia, which that didn't work out so good. So.
That's where Zeb went wrong too, if it makes you feel any better. My true. Arizona pick wasn't fantastic either, it turns out. But we do appreciate everyone that jumped into that as well. We'll probably look to do something a little bit more with that next year as well, provided we haven't been yanked off air and we're still doing the pod anyway. As always, feel free to reach out on Twitter, Facebook, email, whatever it is.
Robbie, I'm going to stop you there, Robbie. You've done it. I knew you would do this, Robbie. I knew you would do this. You've gone 45 minutes and have not wanted to discuss the NBA one time. We will spend the next 10 minutes talking about the Pelicans and their complete obliteration of Portland, and I'll give you 30 seconds to defend your boys. Go.
There is no defense. I said from the start, terrible matchup. Shots aren't dropping. Things are not looking good for Portland. Unfortunately, we're in that delicate position where you sit there and you say, yeah, we should roll Pelicans, and that's a bad thing for us. If you run into the Spurs and you lose to them, it's like, oh yeah, that's the Spurs. If you run into OKC, it's like, yeah, but they got Russ, they got Melo, they got Paul George. It's okay, it's an admirable loss. When you look at the Pelicans lineup and you say, well, there's a really good Anthony Davis, then they're rubbish after that. This is a bad loss for us.
Watch your mouth.
What I love about the NBA Finals is the East. I don't know who's coming out of that.
No one does.
That's the first time in a long time, I think, that you look at it and go, don't know. And the other cool part is, the Philly-Boston rivalry for probably the next 2-3 years is going to be right on. So, been really good to see the game so far. I think the West, kind of feels a little bit more Houston-ish, like a two-horse race maybe, but... again, good time of year with the level of hoop that you can watch daily.
Yep, it is.
Wrap it up, mate. Go on. You did all right. Defend yourself. Keep going.
I've done what I can do, which is, as a general rule, not much. But again, please reach out. Hashtag Talking Split on Twitter. This might be the season Zeppel actually gets active. I doubt it, but possible. It might be.
He's tweeting a photo out today saying we're back. So
I doubt that.
He's all over it.
Strongly doubt that. But again, any topics or anything you'd like us to discuss, please do reach out and we'll do our best to cover it off. We will have another mailbag segment at the end of this
Very well season. Received that, which is surprising. Obviously, we didn't talk too much crap.
It is. Well, potentially good, but just no one ragged on us for it. But again, if you can leave a rating and review on the iTunes store, that'd be fantastic, as well as if you can just share the podcast around. We want to try and make this thing as interactive as possible. So the more topics that we have coming in, the more we can try and help you guys out, the better it is for everyone.
Kind of cool the far reach we've got now, like New Jersey and
talking to a guy Islands from New Zealand,
Kiwi Islands, whatever it's called. You know what I'm saying. Yeah, anyway, let's get off here.
We've got him.
Thanks very much, guys. We'll catch you guys from down in Geelong next week.